Budgeting for believers. Put your money where your mouth is, right? Well, the whole thinking there is that when you come to Christ, you've got a new heart, right? And budgeting is the practical side of what Pastor David just told us about Proverbs saying. And we just sang about God's wisdom. And to follow God's wisdom is a sure foundation. We won't go wrong there. Oops. So, in this session, I'm going to try teach you, and probably you're going to know most of the things already. 99% of this, what I'm going to tell you now, is things that you're familiar with. It's just discipline, right? Who's got a budget? Just for interesting sake. Okay, we need to repent of lying. just joking. But I'm sure you would agree with me that keeping a budget is hard work, right? And sometimes you get the energy or the or you see the need. Listen, I need to keep a budget, and you go and you draw up a budget, and then life happens. You start feeling the budget. You know, when you feel the budget, it's not no longer here. You just estimate. You feel, yeah, no, I can afford this. I'll buy that. That looks nice. Oh, my friends is going. I'm going to spend. Right? You feel it. Now imagine a judge needs to do a judgment based on his feeling. He looks at the accused. The accused are crying. He's crying. Looks innocent. Oh, I feel you're innocent. Is that a good judgment? Can that judge make a judgment based on what he feels? No. We need evidence. You need figures. How can you make a decision on anything, right, without knowing if you are able to afford that? And we'll come to that. But the most important thing is that a budget is not a party pooper. It's not a spoil sport, right? A budget is a blessing. It's a blessing. A budget helps you to glorify God and love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. So a budget is going to help you doing that. And so I'm going to try and go through these slides at a fairly decent pace. And if you can just, well, we're going to have a Q&A later on, so I'm speaking now. I've got that privilege to steamroller forward. Okay, so let's look. What is a budget? We start with the philosophy, the motivation, and the meaning of a budget. Well, a budget is simply a spending plan. If a purchase does not fit into your budget, then you can't buy that item, at least this time. A budget helps you prevent those spur-of-the-moment emotional purchases, for no one has unlimited resources. Right, so God has gifted each one of you differently in terms of when it comes to finances. Some has got more, some less. But no one's got unlimited finances. Is there anybody here that's got unlimited? Nobody here, right? So we need to work in a wise fashion when it comes to finances, right? Okay, so how, and we heard it this morning, how we spend our money reveals our heart. So as we do our budget, that's a spiritual exercise. Because now we can see where our loves are, our desires, our loyalties, you know. And once you see that, and the budget will clearly show you that, you'll see later on, we can repent of that. We can put off and put on. It's a spiritual exercise. And 1 Corinthians, we know, says, therefore, whatever you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And your finance is the heart of that. This will enable you to glorify God. This will enable you to do what you really desire, is to see God's kingdom advance and loving your neighbor. Right. So money is not evil. It's a means to an end. It's to glorify God and not an end of itself. And as anything in life, if you are disorganized, if there's no plan, and you're undisciplined, that will lead to impulse. That will lead to a point where you are driven by your emotions, how I feel. If Justin Bieber has got a concert, I feel I want to go there. Please don't. But just see the example there. But it leads to impulse, and it's not a way to bring glory to God, but to indulge in the flesh. Think about it. When you react on what you feel, most of the time, 99% of the time, it's indulging of the flesh. That ice cream looks nice. Right? That new shiny thing. Oh, man. It's most of the time, it's the flesh that you respond to there. And one of the major motivations of Christians is to do a budget. To do a budget is the concept of stewardship. And I hope you understand the concept of stewardship well today. Because God, as we'll see in our next slide, owns everything. What do you have that wasn't given to you? Talents, resources, time, breath, opportunities. God owns everything. And we, nothing. By the way, if you missed the notes, just come to me afterwards. I'll send you the presentation. Right? Put off the pressure there. But we own nothing. Let me just stop this thing. We don't own anything. And God has entrusted all the resources to you and me. Right? Get the concept of stewardship. But that's not all. That's not all. God wants a return on his investment. God wants a return on his investment. That's a proper way of looking at this. You've been given a responsibility. It's a responsibility. It's not a free for all. It's a responsibility. And what's connected with a responsibility is accountability. Correct? So we will be judged. We'll be judged on what we do with God's money and his resources, right? When we think about God's investment and the return he wants, and that he wants to see growth and development, just think on the parable of talents. Whether one receives much or little, he should attempt to invest whatever resources he has for an increased harvest. The Lord expects believers to do a good job with the things that they have received. God wants stewards who develop and use the talents God entrusts to them. So what would that require from us? If you just think about that accountability, that responsibility, would laziness fit nicely into this picture? No. Irresponsibility? Just impulse? No. Because as that example of the judge, you need to be a wise discerner of where and how much you'll spend on certain things, right? So it will require faithfulness from our side, thoughtfulness, discipline, and perseverance. And you know, this budget, if you are faithful, and remember God resists the proud, but to the humble he gives grace. That grace is his enabler. Humbling is just submitting to God. It's not Yomar Ek Leef attitude, you know. It's just submitting to God. God is God and I'm not. I'm a steward. And I'm going to be faithful as best I can. God, please help me. And God's grace will help you. Right? So, let's move on to the budget. The goals. Now, for those who are used to having a budget and knows the pain and sometimes in getting that going on a consistent basis, ask the question, do you have goals? Do you have goals? You know, a race without a finish line makes no sense. you're running way too. How far? How long? You know, this actually makes no sense if a race doesn't have a finish line. It's pointless. If you aim at nothing, be sure you'll hit that. Okay, so a goal is essential. And goals, where do we get our goals from? Scripture. We need to remember that we're going to give an account to God one day. We're going to stand in front of Him and He's going to say, right, I've given you X amount. What have you done? And I wonder, I haven't even thought of that. Through our lifetime, if the Lord spares us for 80 years, how much money will run through our bank account for 80 years? That's a scary thought. That's a big responsibility. For those who are given much, much will be required, right? It's a big responsibility. And you're young, you're privileged this morning to start now. Now, I remember my dad-in-law, he is not a believer, but he's financially very, very responsible. You know, and something that he imprinted in his daughter, my wife, and then when I later came, I was his target as well. He said, listen, you need to start saving. You need to prepare for the day of tomorrow. You need to do that. I was fortunate growing up in a house where my mom was the business lady. So we grew up in that environment of, listen, if I need to eat there, I need to do something here in order to get that, right? There needs to be planning, diligence. And for that to happen, there needs to be a goal. Now, the goal forms a roadmap that you work towards. It's a target. And then once you've got your target, you reverse engineer from there. Okay, so if I leave with a ship out of point X and I want to achieve point Y, I need to know what my degrees of departure would be this side so I eventually hit my target there. So reverse engineer from there. And then obviously we plan for disasters. And then goals needs to be communicated. You're all young and single. I gather most of them. Hopefully after this session that will change. Right? But you need to remember that once you marry, your goals, and men, I'm talking to you now primarily, because this is going to be your responsibility. You might not be the better between you two in terms of money, but the buck stops with you. God will keep you accountable of how you run your family. But you need to think and communicate these goals. What do we want to achieve? And start now, while you're single, get into that frame of mind, into that habit of being goal-orientated, right? And communicate that through. Put it in writing, not here because you forget. And then if you put it in the end, then it shifts to my heart and then I feel it. You don't want to feel it. All that you want to feel is peace when you plan for something and you execute according to plan. That's a nice feeling. That's a feeling of God honoring a good steward. That's peace and joy. Right. And it also needs to be flexible, your plans, due to changing circumstances. So you start prioritizing your life according to Scripture. You set priorities. You set goals for the short, medium, and long term. The Scripture is your source when it comes to goals. Because these goals you want to reach because you want to be a good steward. Let's just pause that. And also remember that our planning is dependent on God's will. Always remember that. Proverbs 16:9 and James 4:13 and 15. If God wills, then I will do this and this and this and this. The goal is to glorify God in all I do. And let's look at a few categories in how we can glorify God in your finances. And these categories also will give your life meaning. You know, that's the amazing thing about God's law, is to love God with all my heart and my soul, and to love my neighbor as myself gives meaning. So when you work for the boss, and he's quiet, and he doesn't take nonsense, you know, and you have to work long hours, you know, you've got meaning. I've got purpose here, right? Now, let's list some of those categories that we can glorify God in. Right, so as we've heard in the first session, is providing for your family. That's your first primary priority, right, that you need to look at. You need to look and make sure you've got shelter, you've got food, education. Let's go on now. Whew, guys, how do you stop this thing? Okay, but anyway. Okay, so we've got provide for your family. So food, housing, clothes, education, safety, medical, schooling. And I've put here men especially because you need to take the responsibility. Your wife one day as well, your team, you're one. But you are the primary head of that house. Start thinking about that now. In your budget that you're busy with now, put a line item there. Put it in. It shows you start thinking about that. It's not going to start by surprise. Remember, if you want to marry, you need to look after, you need to be able to look after your wife. You need to support her. So, provide for your family, men. Provide for the ministry of your church. Right, your pastor needs to be sustained. You want to have a full-time pastor that can invest all of his time in you because it will be beneficial for your soul. So your tithes and your giving is directly, firstly, to your local church to maintain the property, for missions, for other ministries, and then provide for future needs. So saving, investing. You want a car one day. You want a house. You want to be. You want to retire. You want to get married. You want to have a honeymoon, right? You don't want to make debt, right? You don't want to start on that foot. You want to have a cash principle lifestyle. Okay, you can start now with that, with a little bit of faithfulness. You know, you don't have millions to throw at this now, but maybe 100 rand, maybe 50 rand, depending on your circumstances. But at least there's a line item. You plan for it. You're working towards that. Right. Provide needs for others. Others and needs. Right. And that could be Christians. And we can extend that even to unbelievers in a way that we can have influence in their lives. Gain trust for the sole purpose of loving them. And loving them means giving the gospel. Right, and just a side note is that giving is not always monetary contributions. We all know that sometimes we are, it's just our circumstances that we can't give money at this particular point in time. We might be in debt still, our circumstances, we don't have a job, or whatever the case might be. But you can also give of your time. Of your resources. What do you have to give? You know, I've read a book a couple of years ago, in seminary actually, that when God is big and or God is small and people are big. And in that book, it had this bakant. You know, when you're sitting in church, what can I get out of this? You know, I can't give unless my jug is filled. You know, that's fleshly. That's wrong. That's wrong thinking. When did the Bible say, okay, you can only start loving others when your jug is full? Never, right? We are commanded to love each other regardless of our circumstances. So what do you have to love? Maybe you can open up your home, hospitality, right? Opening up your home has got an indirect cost. You know, you need to buy a lack of coffee, tea. You need to make it nice and hospitable. Maybe additional electricity. So there is a cost involved. It's an indirect cost. Or maybe service in the church. The time that you spend at church is time that you are losing in the field of business where there's also opportunity cost there. But that's a sacrificial thing. And that's good because now you're loving God and you're loving your neighbor. Does that make sense? Great. Unwise goals. To become rich, as we've heard in the first session, and to live in luxury, and to look good, to try and to look good in front of others. And once you have set your priorities, now you can start planning on how much you want to or need to spend on each category. Remember, as a Christian, you want to give. You don't want to have scraps here. You want to plan your life and your finances so you, maybe not now, but maybe in 5 years or in 10 years, you're in a position that you can generously give. Right? And that's joy. The Bible teaches it's better to give than to receive. So, once you set your priorities and your goal, now you start planning, and your goals should be measurable and realistic. Okay, just to say, I want to be financially successful, how are you going to measure that? Everyone wants to do that. But if you've got specific goals that you can measure, that's where you want to be. Things like, I want to save or increase 10% of my income. That is measurable. You can measure that. So it needs to be practical. Right, your goals should reflect a modest lifestyle, not in poverty, but also not in outrageous luxury. And so here are some goal-setting examples. So you might say, okay, giving goals 10% to church missions. And remember, this is not a percentage. Tithing in the New Testament is not, as in the Old Testament, it's not 10%, or Pastor David told me yesterday, it's actually 27%, to be accurate. New Testament giving, God loves a cheerful giver, right? And the heart of the Christian brings joy when he can bring more than the minimum standard. So it's a nice guideline to have 10% in terms of giving, but that's just a guideline. I mean, is it Galatians that says, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully, right? So, you know, God doesn't want to limit your blessing. And I don't want to sound like a prosperity teacher here, but it's also important not to fall off on the other side of the horse. There is a faith element. There is a looking forward to see what the Lord is going to do in this. But not necessarily a financial blessing. He'll look after you. When I just started my business, I remember our oldest daughter was on her way. I think 3 months, 2 months before she came, I was retrenched at my work, and we only got married there. I think we were married a year or two by that time, and I was retrenched, and I thought, oh my word, what now? And started my own business, 1 rand here, 2 rand there, 3 rand scratch here and there. My wife at that time had a permanent position, so we had a steady income that side, but it was small. We needed my side to contribute to really make it. So our housing was sorted on her side, because we arranged that from her bank account, the rent will go off there, all are fixed, and then from my side, I need to work for food. And I would need to go out. And so we worked. And at the end of the month, when we did our budget, and we looked at what we have, what we need to do, we saw, right, we can meet all those things there. We can't eat as luxurious as we would be, not luxurious, but as nicely as we wanted to. But we can survive. And we thought, oh, must we give our tithes? I'm sure the Lord will understand if we Adam, we poor. You know, the Lord will have pity on us. But we decided we're going to trust the Lord. And I'm so grateful I remember my first salary that I received. And I worked on a 10%, just as a nice guideline. My first salary giving my tithes there. And I remember standing in ATSA that morning with my first one, and I think I still had a check there. And I deposited that in. And the joy of giving, you know, that joy. Me and my wife decided we're gonna give. It's we don't have bountiful, but we're gonna trust the Lord here. You know, looking back, and even there, we realized there wasn't one day that we didn't have food on the table. It's not one day that I couldn't put petrol in my car. It's not one day that we couldn't buy gifts for somebody in my wife's life to buy gifts for extended family. That's also a discussion we had to have. I mean, everything is a gift from God, but it doesn't have to come from us. But we trusted God in that, and God was so faithful. God was so faithful. And you know what? At that time, we lived from hand to mouth. As we got some money in, we bought the necessary stuff. But we had joy. We had peace. It was hard when the baby was born. We had all. It reminded of the widow's, what is a crake in English? You know, where the oil's in the, what, a crake? But the oil never stopped. Remember that. That's the important thing. Right? The oil never stopped. And trust God in that. We need to be responsible. Don't go and, if you can't pay your rent on anything, give 50,000, you know. Be responsible. But there's a faith element there. Educational goals, save 40% of all your income for university, college, or technicon. Saving goals, save 10% of all income for short-term goals. Or save 20% of all income for long-term goals. And what I found, what worked for me in terms of saving, is that you've got your plan. If that money comes in, act immediately. Have a separate bank account, or I don't think it's safe to work with cash today. You know, my mom-in-law still does that, where she's got an envelope for everything. You know, that's effective. But if you feel the Lord will protect you, then go for that. But a bank account worked for us, right? So when the money came in, and when I started my business as well, for those who are looking to start or already busy with their business, you know, when money comes in, that's the government. Put it in a separate account. Don't mix it with your budget yet. Saving, so I've saved already before I start living. That's a wise principle. Right, lifestyle goals, buy used cars, buy clothes as needed, buy stereo, furniture, whatever. Don't go and make debt on these cars. You know, it's difficult not to do that. But within boundaries, right, within your means and your limits. Don't steal from the future and think, oh, there's money coming in there, I'm going to make debt here. Don't do that. That's not wise. Retirement goals, be able to retire at 60. So here's a little bit of a plan that you can do. So you know more or less what income you will generate. And if you've got a business and or irregular income, just take 3 or 4 months and on average, just to give you an idea there. So I plan to make X amount monthly. My giving plan to give is, and you decide. You know, this is, you decide what that percentage of my income to the church will be. And don't let the giving be last on the list. Let it be first on the list. When you do your monthly payments, pay your tithes first. Right? Every month it will be a test. And some months, a bigger test than other months. Right? Having a business, I know, I've sent out the invoices, the clients often slow to pay, you know. But, yeah. Just in your mind, show that your priority is giving. Education, I plan to save X, and that's the monetary value each month for a tertiary education. And all these things also require planning, right? Do you know how much will tertiary education cost when your kids? You know, talk to a financial planner. You know, it takes some research. Retirement, I plan to save X amount. Lifestyle, and so on. Right, and then, here's the nice part. Now, you've done your planning, you've got your blueprint, but you don't know yet what the current situation is like. Okay, so now you take your bank statement with a highlighter, and you go through that. And you see, how much are we spending on this, and that, and here. Whew, it's a nice exercise. You'll be surprised. Because We don't work with cash anymore. With cash, I've got 5 notes in my envelope or my wallet. If I give it 2 out, I've got 3 left. So I can see more or less. I can gauge, right? If everything is gone, it's gone. Well, with a card, you just swipe. It's just numbers. You just swipe. You feel it. You feel it. Right? Ah, it feels okay. It feels okay. Right, so list your available income. This all normal monthly expenses. And you may have to keep track of this for a month or two just to find out what is normal for you. There might be some unusual months there. And then you compare income versus expenses. Determine how much you are spending on each of the below categories. And estimate how much you want to spend in each category. And compare with your goals. It's a nice gap analysis that you do. Okay, so then you've got something like this. I mean, this is not set in stone. You do whatever works for you. And there's nice budget tools out there. Dave Ramsey's got a nice website with nice tools that you can use. You can use Excel, just what works for you. So on the left-hand side, you'll see there's a planned and an actual and variance there. So giving to the church what we planned and what we actually did. And this will also give you a gauge. If you've got a 5 or 10 year plan, say, listen, maybe now I can only give 1,000 rand. My means is I can only give 1,000 rand now. But I want to get to 10,000. I really want to give 10,000. Right? Now, this is a plan for 5 or 10 years. You need to increase your income, lower your expenses. What will you do? And there will be sacrifice involved. They said go to the movies. Maybe not that nice thing that you thought. Maybe a cheaper one here. There will be sacrifice. But the joy that is set before you, that is what you need to drive you. Taxes, if you're a business, I mean, if you get a salary, you're being taxed first, and then you get your salary. But if you've got provisional tax or you're a business owner, you pay tax last. So make provision for that. Housing, right, 20 to 30%. Housing includes a mortgage or rent or whatever the case. Maintenance. Don't forget, when you buy a house, there's maintenance. And when you buy a car, there's maintenance. And there's insurance. Right, so do your homework there. Insurance is very important. Food, let's say 20%. Plan what you planned. Vehicles, clothing, medical, dental, entertainment, recreation, savings, others. Right. I want to talk on shopping around a bit. So when we think about insurance, medical aid, cell phones, network coverages, internet, you need to be a good steward to see, listen, am I paying too much for the same value that I can get cheapest elsewhere? You need to shop around a bit. I know in insurance, I'm with our insurance, and I know if I don't claim after a period, I can phone and say, hey guys, I'm not claiming. Can you lower my premium? Ah, you're a good client. Yes, we can bring it down here. Every now and then, do that. There's ways that you can save, and always look for saving. I'm not going to tell that story. But no, I just grew up in Vereniging, and we had the Indians here. We had an Indian store, and you know, Indian price is never a problem. You know, there's always a saving there. But so shop around and look for savings, because a good steward is somebody that saves and look for save, right? On medical aid, there could be, you don't have to need, especially when you're young, the full coverage. You know, maybe just a hospital plan. And add to that, medical aid is very expensive. And when you are thinking on starting a family, keep that in mind. Know the different options. Speak to competent people. Do your homework there. Right, corrective measures. Identify high-risk areas. And habitual overspending, and this is a spiritual exercise, because when you do your bank statement analysis, you'll quickly find where you'll spend the bulk of your money. Right? And as we said, heart issues are being exposed. Why? Why are you spending so much on that? Ask that question. Why? Why is this thing going on? Right? Why? Why are you spending that? That reveals something of your heart. There's selfishness, there's fleshliness, there's worldliness. Right? That needs to be put off. It's a wonderful opportunity. Sanctifying opportunity, right? For God to reveal your heart in terms of your spending. And maybe you say, listen, this is overwhelming. Yeah, I'm so undisciplined. How will I fix this? This is a huge task. But how do you eat an elephant? Piece by piece, right? You start in a logical way. If there's debt, right? You start with the debt with the most expensive debt, right? Normally that's credit cards and that's furniture debt and all these stuff, you know, cars and all that stuff. You start with the expensive debt and you work your way through that. Have a plan in mind saying, okay, I'm going to cut here and I'm going to throw my full weight in setting the debt because the debt is your enemy. Debt is the opposite of freedom. Debt will keep you from being generous. Imagine opportunity. God organized an opportunity for you where you could have given, where you could have been a blessing, but you were unwise in how you're dealing with your finances. And that opportunity will pass you by. That's sad. That's sad. Because we as Christians, we want to be a blessing. We want to serve God with our financial means. Okay, so remember that you want to keep the important things, and so to glorify God, you want to prioritize your family and giving. And with corrective measures comes change, and how things were done. Communicate the goals and corrective actions to achieve these goals and write it down. So as I said, debt is our biggest enemy. And if debt is out of hand, take decisive action immediately. Don't procrastinate. Have a plan immediately. How are you going to deal with that debt? You know, in some instances, we don't have a choice, right? Buying a house, cars, those are expensive items. But have a plan in place into targeting and attacking that debt as soon and as quick as possible. Right, maybe you need to start with plastic surgery and cutting off all those credit cards, right? Because that is a problem, right? Because once again, you're spending money that you don't have. That's not a good biblical principle. You're spending money that you don't have, and that is expensive debt. That is very expensive. So, cut that. Have a cash policy and live on that. And then cut unnecessary expenses and or increase your income. I think you need to do both. You need to cut unnecessary expenses and always look for opportunities to grow your income. Right? As we heard in the first session, don't be lazy. We need to be content with what God gives us. That's why we've got debt problems, because we're not. But we need to have this burning desire to mean more in God's kingdom, right? And how can you mean more? If you've got more, right? God can trust you with more if you're faithful with what you've got. But you need to go out and look for opportunities then. Types of debts: home, car, cell phone, credit cards, clothes, furniture, study debt, educational debt. So adapt a financial policy and all these: greed, love for money and material possessions, that leads all to debt, you know, ignorance, discontent, co-signing for loans. And then before you buy something on credit, ask yourself, is this a need or a want? It's a difficult question. It seems simple, you know, because our hearts are deceitful. Of my heart, everything is a need. you know, but you need to be, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you through these questions. And say, really? Get an accountability partner, your wife one day, or your husband, you know. Faithful people, church that you see that's really faithful with their church, with their money. Ask them. Get accountability. What do you think about this? You know, that's a healthy setup to be in. Right. Live within your means. Always look to save. Don't invest borrowed money. Very important. I think Pastor David mentioned all of these. And now that you've got your debt under control, you've planned, you've structured, you're intentional. You're not acting on impulse. You're intentional. Now you've got peace. Now if you spend something, you've planned for that. There's no guilt. There's no fear. You know you're a good steward. You've got confidence with the Lord. And now there's peace. Right? That sounds like a nice place to be. Right? Calm. Joyful. Right? Good steward. And then lastly, let me just get to that one. Lastly, just a couple of closing thoughts. I went through everything. And I'm rushed for time and I waste time like this. Okay. I just want to... Oh, but you're enjoying it so much. Okay. Final thoughts. Be sure to evaluate and monitor your budget regularly. On a monthly basis, do it on a monthly basis and adjust when needed. Best to review monthly. Keep your calendar in check. See what unexpected things are happening that month. There's maybe an outing or a camp tour or a church event or whatever. Maybe something at school with the kids that you need to make provision for. For the areas that you tend to overspend, use cash or that banking account system to move money. Know your weaknesses. Be frank about it. Don't hide it. Don't try to ignore that. Know your weaknesses. Because if you know your weaknesses, God says, in your weakness, I am strong. Because that weakness you can give to Him. Say, Lord, I need your help here. You need to depend on Him. Get accountability in as well. God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. Give grace to yourself as well. You're not going to get this perfectly done. You're going to struggle. And sometimes you feel, oh man, is this worth it? Give grace to yourself. If you overspend, say, Lord, I'm sorry about this. If there's some heart issue you need to deal with that. God delights in giving forgiveness, right? You bring some glory. Give grace to yourself. Okay, and persevere. Cultivate an attitude of gratitude and contentment towards God for His gifts to you. When you pay over that tithes, or you're generous, when you press that button, or before that, pray, Lord, thank you that I can give this. Thank you what you've given me. I can't pay you. You don't need anything. There's no amount of money I can give you to repay what your Son done for me on the cross. Thank you. It's like a guy that's drowning in the ocean, And a lifeguard comes and saves him. There's nothing that guy could do to save himself. But that guy that was saved, in his heart, there's gratitude towards that lifeguard. And he looks for every opportunity to do something good for this lifeguard. Right? That needs to be our attitude. We reject a fearful spirit and be a faithful steward and trust God. So we do everything in our means. We are faithful of that. Don't fear. Trust God. God is faithful. He'll look after you. Psalm 23. And then read good Christian books on finance. Right, let's just pray, then we can break. Father, thank you that we can trust you, Lord. We place our reliance on the book of Proverbs, on the principles in the rest of the word, Lord. And I pray that you would use this and this practical way in be faithful and a good steward to you. I pray that you would instill it in our souls and make us serious about this, Lord, and bless every effort. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.